Hi, welcome to the seventh episode of Two Friends with Nothing in Common. My name is Manuela, and I'm going to tell just a little story about how Andrew and I have nothing in common. So, it's not really a story, but just a little fun fact. Every time Andrew parks his car, he uses his emergency brake, and I don't.
It's good for the gears.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So I'll start off by saying how my week went, I guess. So I went to St. Louis for East Asia training.
What?
It was really fun. One short story about it, though. The night before, we stayed at our leader's house. Like, we spent the night there, and then we were supposed to meet up at a church the next day. And so we left in three separate cars. And I parked on the opposite side of the street of the other two vehicles of the people that left. So me and my friend Elliot, we left the subdivision a different way. And he, like, put in his phone. We knew the church was called the Rock of St. Louis Church. And it was on Manchester Road. So he put it in. We're in Dogtown, by the way. And so he puts in his phone. We're just like, all right, just get on Highway 40. We get on. It ends up being a 20-25 minute drive out to Baldwin. And we're like, all right, well, it's the name of the church. We get out there, and we get in the parking lot, and I'm like, I don't see their cars. Like, he's like, I think they're in that side lot. Like, I think I see Bree's car. And so I was like, okay. So we park, get out, and then we walk around the church and find a door open. All the lights are off, and it's one of those churches where they, like, just kept on adding on to it. So when you're walking around in there, you're, like, going up steps, then down steps, then, like, around these, like, tiny hallways.
Creepy.
Try and navigate. And I was like, I think we're at the wrong church, Elliot. And he's like, let me call someone. So he calls another girl on the team, and he's like, hey, like, what's the church by? And she's like trying to describe it. And then meanwhile, we're like walking around, and we're like enter this like fellowship room in the basement with like just one light on in the corner. And there's like sewing machines and like these biblical costumes draped over chairs. It was like really creepy. And I was like, all right, we need to get out of here. I'm not a fan of this. And so then we like left the room promptly. And then our leader got on the phone, and he's like, I don't think you guys are at the right church. Cause Elliot said we were across from a Chevy dealership. He's like, no, we're not. That's weird. And so then, we get back in the car, and he sends us the actual address, and we find out that we indeed went to the Rock of St. Louis Church on Manchester Road, but there's also a church called Rock of St. Louis Church, also on Manchester Road.
Wow, just one word difference.
Yes, just one word difference, same street, and that one was in Dogtown. So then we had a 25-minute drive back to Dogtown, but it was good, nice bonding time. Exciting thing that happened to me today, I got a call for a job interview.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
That's exciting. When is it?
It is next Thursday.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm a little nervous because it's my first real job interview that there's like going to be a panel instead of just like direct supervisor. Yeah.
That'll be kind of fun. I'll pray for you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I've come a long way since North County rec.
You know? Ooh, North County.
kick you off this podcast right now.
We keep joking about kicking each other off the podcast. I think we need to stop.
Yeah, well, one of these days, just one of us will be missing.
we'll
be
gosh.
Replaced. No mention of the person that was kicked off. Then my last thing is I have to get a colonoscopy on Thursday.
Oh, you're really sharing this on the
podcast? No, I am, because they say the day before, like, you have to fast, with the exception of a few things. Like, you can have honey and chicken broth and popsicles. So after this, I'm going to go to neighborhood market or something and just, like, get a bunch of honey. And I'm going to, like, have a bunch of honey tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
That's crazy.
But no, that's my week.
I guess you're really not afraid to share things on the podcast anymore after your explosive diarrhea story. If you haven't heard that episode, I think it's number three.
I feel like that was more difficult to share than this because everyone has these procedures.
I guess.
At some point in their life.
Yeah. That's true, I guess.
Well, we'll debate that later.
Okay, cool. That's our pop culture segment. Just kidding.
Colonoscopies and you.
Please don't log off yet. Okay, well, I'll do my weekly recap. So this past Friday was April 6th, aka my birthday, and it was awesome. I turned 23. I went to Silver Dollar City, went to work. I went to Bambino's for the first time.
Oh, nice.
If you live in Springfield, go to Bambino's, two locations, Battlefield and Del Mar Street. Quality food. And then later that night, we played Hostage. But then it snowed. It snowed in April in Missouri. I was so mad. I hate snow.
Just for your birthday.
I know. It was awesome. And then to make things like the best, my phone broke. So yeah, if you texted me happy birthday, didn't get it. Appreciate it though. Yeah, so I haven't had a phone since Friday. So it's really great. I really know myself a little bit more. A lot of reflection time, I guess. Yeah, and then Saturday was the birthday party that I had with our friend Greg Kelly. He was on our podcast. He talked about fishing. Just a couple highlights. Well, we had a pinata, and I decided to let Greg be the first one to hit it, and he just completely
obliterated it.
Yeah. I was like, you're supposed to like not hit it so hard and let someone else have a turn too, Greg. Like, where's your pinata etiquette? But whatever. And then I came up with this really fun game that someone actually commented on and was like, that's really clever. And it was like a little question game, like, who, like, between me and Greg, like, who likes fill in the blank?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it was really fun. And I think people had fun answering the questions.
You had, like, the little note cards posted throughout the house. And
yeah, so people just went around and answered all the questions. So I think people thought that was fun. I thought it was fun. I learned a lot about Greg.
I enjoyed it.
And then whenever we did the birthday cake, Greg wanted to do a smash cake like babies do. And we were like, okay, Greg. So then we got it all set up. And he goes, you know, I don't really want cake on my face. And I was like, okay, then why did you suggest a smash cake, Greg? And he said, I'll just eat it with my hands. And I was like, whatever. So then after everyone sang happy birthday and stuff, I like picked up a piece of cake and just smashed it in his face because I knew he didn't want it. And it was so funny.
And then you guys started
and
throwing.
And then he came back and tried to smash it in my face. But then my hair got in my face. So I had like a mouthful of hair and cake.
And also you
and
like.
And then I like tried to throw it again. And I missed him. And then he like came back to like throw it at me. And it felt like he literally punched me in the jaw because he was like,
you fell on the couch.
Yeah, I like fell over. And I was like, good night, Greg. Like, I'm like 100 pounds less. Actually, probably not 100 pounds. Sorry, Greg.
Then there's just like that piece of cake face down on the other side of the room that you had thrown.
Yeah, it was pretty lit. I made some cool stickers that say Friendship Rocks at Manuela and Greg's birthday celebration with pictures of our faces. Yeah. And then on Monday, I was really like, well, I wasn't excited to go to work, so I shouldn't say that. But I was, I got to work anyway, regardless of how I felt.
Showed up.
And one of the kids walked in. He's my absolute favorite. And he was like, Miss Manuela, guess what? I got adopted. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know. Like I remember you telling me this was happening. And so I was so excited. And he showed me all the pictures from the courthouse. And he showed me this photo album that his older brother gave him of him when he was growing up. I was like crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you. And yeah, so it was so cute. I love this kid so much. So that was like my highlight for Monday. And then I guess another highlight was we went on a drive last night and that was pretty nice.
That was
but
nice.
But then we went to go see some friends at a volleyball game that they were playing at, but they ended up not playing. So then I remember saying like, oh, there's Leah, like seeing her pull out of the parking lot. So then Andrew goes, what are we going to do? And we were like, let's follow her. So we just like followed Leah home like creepers. And then Andrew was like, what are we going to do? And I was like, oh no, just get out of the car. Like whenever we got to her house, we just went inside and hung out for a little bit.
She showed us her plants.
Yeah, that was nice. A little impromptu hang.
Yeah.
And then I had another good day at work today. I had my last Bible study of the year. Very sad.
Aww.
I love those ladies that I got to spend my Tuesday nights with. But it's okay. We'll be back in September. Jeez. So yeah, that was my week.
Nice. Sounds like a good week.
All right, so let's move on to our next segment. We have our friend Molly here. Say hi, Molly.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. If you heard the intro music and you are as big of a fan of the Jonas Brothers as Miley is, Molly!
Oh, my gosh! And the podcast, we have to start over.
I literally was like, I thought...
You almost said Molly and then said Miley. What?
I'm so sorry.
First of all, insult to me. Second, don't talk about Miley when we're talking about the Jonas Brothers.
Honestly, we should have had Molly talk about the Jonas Brothers on the podcast. Yeah. Because she knows, like, everything about... I guess future podcasts will reach to Molly.
Future.
I don't know if people really want to listen to that, I guess.
Rude. I want to listen to that.
Okay, I would too, but...
But anyway, so she's here this week to talk about relationship advice. Why? Because she's been in a relationship for like 8 years, and she's my age, so that's pretty exciting. So
impressive,
Molly. Thank you. Why don't you tell us some stuff you know?
Okay, so yeah, like Manuela said, I've been in a relationship for like 7.5 years ish, and which means we started dating sophomore year of high school. We're both 23 now, so it's been a while. So in no way am I an expert, but I mean, I'd like to think our relationship's pretty good, so.
I think it's great.
Yeah, so when Manuela asked me to do relationship advice on her podcast, I said, sure, why not? So, a couple things that I was thinking about when I was thinking about relationship advice and just kind of what makes my relationship, I feel like, successful and just important things in my relationship. There's a couple things that I was going to share. And one thing that I've been kind of thinking about lately and actually been sharing this advice to people lately is love each other as an action. So a lot of people understand like love is a feeling. You can love each other as a feeling, but some people don't also remember to love as an action. You have to wake up every day and tell yourself that you're going to love and respect another person as an action and show it through your actions. And kind of going into that also, even in like arguments and disagreements, like the backbone of everything should be love and respect. So the point of everything should be love and respect. So even when you're arguing or you disagree about something, the end goal should be that you're continuing to love each other and respect each other through that argument, and you're going to come to some sort of, you know, conclusion to either better yourself or each other.
You know, actually, my best friend also told me that there's a really good book called Love and Respect. So nice. I completely understand and agree with your first little rule.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah, it's awesome. Another thing, well, one thing that's, I think, specific to my relationship is we were friends for like 3.5 years before we started dating. And I think that that's something that not everyone kind of gets the opportunity to experience, but I think that is one thing that like helps our relationship be successful, is because we have such a firm friendship base. Mm-hmm. And like we were best friends and then we started dating, not we started dating and became best friends. And so mm-hmm. just like having that base like really helps. And one thing that we try really hard to do is like pull that friendship base out when we're hanging out with like mutual friends. Like we try, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we try really hard to like make sure that when we're hanging out in a group or like in a group of three, even that like our friend doesn't feel like a third wheel and mm-hmm. we can all just be friends.
Yeah, I would support that statement.
Good, great, thank you.
Never felt like a third wheel.
Good.
I used to get in the way of our friendship, but I don't let her. Tyler was my friend first.
That's true. Tyler and Manuela are friends first. I'll own it. Yeah. Another thing is, okay, so another thing also kind of unique to my entire relationship, at least currently, is that we are long distance. And so one thing that I think that's important in a long distance relationship is don't use that as an excuse to not cherish each other. Mm. So like I know a couple people in my life that they were long distance, and so they stopped celebrating Valentine's Day or they stopped celebrating anniversaries because that's obviously a lot harder to do. Mm-hmm. You can't always get to each other. But I think it's really important to still make those things a priority and things like that, because what happens when you're no longer long distance? Like you've already formed the habit of kind of just brushing those things aside when like they should be important. Mm-hmm. And everyone has priorities about like how much they do prioritize those things. But in general, I would say like don't use long distance to not cherish each other. Like there's still opportunities.
That was really nice. Sorry.
Precious.
I know.
But side note of that, like within like being, I guess within being long distance, but also not even this. Okay, never mind. Not side note. New point. Okay. So another thing that I was thinking is it is true that communication is key, but I mean, you don't have to smother each other. Mm-hmm. Like in a relationship, the point is that you're two individual humans coming together to make a pair. You're not two halves becoming a whole. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like you need to like foster your own friendships, your own relationships, your own life, and then come together and have a life together. Mm-hmm. And I think like that's really important because I think like in today's relationships, a lot of people like they want to see each other every single day and then they want to do everything together and like just all of that. And I think that it's important to remember that you should have your own like life also.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Nice. Good point.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I have a question. I guess it kind of relates to the point before this one.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been in a relationship with someone for so long, like what do you do when you kind of get like, I don't know, I guess it's different for everyone, but maybe like 2 years into it and it's kind of like, this isn't new at all anymore. It's not maybe as exciting as it was. Like, how do you overcome that?
And like cherish each other still?
Yeah.
Is that where that's coming from? Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think that's like a really prevalent thing is like, yeah, once you've been in a relationship for a long time, it might seem boring or things just kind of get pushed aside because it's like, this is something we've been doing for forever. And like, you're no longer trying to win each other over. Like you have
right,
each other.
Right, yeah.
But I think honestly, just like keeping things, I mean, this is like so cliche, but like keeping things fresh. I don't know. Like, literally like.
Well, how would you keep something fresh?
So like I said, I think like always making like sure like holidays, anniversaries, birthdays, you know, stuff like that is like important. Another thing is just like, okay, well, I'll just give examples of Tyler and brag on him a little bit. But so we've been dating.
All team Tyler.
We've been dating, like I said, a very long time. And like, he's still like, brings me flowers randomly or like, you know, for no reason, he'll just show up with flowers or like, he still pays for me every time we go out, like things like that. And I think it's really important to like, not lose sight of just like those, just even small things that mm-hmm. you would do when you're trying to win someone over, trying to be like, I want this relationship to last. Like at the beginning of relationships, when you're trying to impress that person, mm-hmm. don't lose sight of those things because they always matter. Like, and also if that's not like, well, whatever. Yeah. So
wait, I just want to tell this story real quick.
Oh, no.
I just remembered it. And that reminds me of the, like the small things and like keeping it fresh. I remember one time Molly was like, freaking out about something, and I think you were like
typical.
You were like feeling like you were low on money or something, and you wanted to eat or whatever. And
Kyle
was like, "Well, do you have enough gas to go to Taco Bell?" And you were like, "I mean, I guess, but like, why?" And he goes, "Well, I just ordered you Taco Bell, so you can go pick it up." And he was like in St. Louis,
yeah, and I was in Springfield,
and, like,
so.
Yeah, and he knew that you were stressed out and stuff. So like, that's something that's I feel like keeping it fresh and just a small little thing that can go a long way.
Yeah, exactly. Small things that can go a long way. He did that like last week too because he knew I was short on money
and
I didn't want to eat the food that was in my fridge because there wasn't much there. And he like ordered me Pickleman's and he was like, okay, so he goes, this was like funny, but he was like, okay, so we were like just talking on the phone. Like I didn't know he had ordered me Pickleman's and he goes, okay, so like, I don't want to pay for delivery. So you need to go to Pickleman's soon. And I was like, wait, what? So I had to like
that's
go.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nice. But yeah. So things like that. Exactly.
Shout out to Tyler.
Yeah. Seriously.
Which he will be listening to this episode because I told him to.
Yeah. I also told him to. So he better. Yeah. But, okay. Three, we'll see, pieces of advice for new relationships, because I feel like that was all like stuff that like I do in our relationship that we've had for a long time.
Yeah,
but I think three pieces of advice for new relationship, I would say, first of all, if it's not your first relationship, I think it's really, really important to remember to not pick up where you left off your old relationship, because like that's so easy to do, like as far as like, yeah, not keeping things fresh or even like physically or just anything like that. Like it's so easy to just pick up where you left off in your last one, but you shouldn't do that because every relationship is different and you have to learn a new relationship.
Mm. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Another thing is also obviously like it's fun to, like, find, like, healthy activities that you both enjoy. So, like, dates can be more than just, like, eating out, going to the movies, stuff like that. Like, dates can be, like, you know, going on a run, exercising, working out, volunteering, like, going to the animal shelter and playing with the dogs. You know what I mean? Like, just, like, things that are, like, good activities where either you're, like, giving back to the community or taking care of yourself, but, like, you can consider it a date and something that you enjoy doing together.
Nice. We are running short on time, so I'm going to throw in a question from a previous guest. Perfect. And then Manuela is going to ask her question that she always asks.
Heck yeah.
Oh.
The question is, at what point should you have the talk about poop?
Oh my gosh. This is not a question that you should ask me.
All you want is poop.
No, because I, like, still... Okay, like, I... That's just, like, a subject that I'm, like, so shy about in general. And I, like, literally still cannot, like... Everyone who's listening is gonna be like, what? But, like, literally when Tyler, like, comes to visit, I, like, still cannot... I go the whole weekend without pooping because I literally can't. We've been dating for 8 years, but I literally cannot. So I'm, like, the wrong person to ask this question. But, like, he is, like, extremely open about it. Like, sorry, Tyler, I'm putting this out there, but he'll literally, like, we'll eat some food and then he'll be like, gonna go make room and then, like, go poop and come back and, like, eat food. But even, like, with him, I used to be like, Tyler, don't tell me. Like, it was only recently that I, like, allowed him to be open about that. Like,
so yeah. Oh, wow. That's not what I expected.
I just, so like, that's like a shy subject for me. I don't know.
That's so funny. All right, Molly, last question. If there's anything you could tell our listeners about being in a relationship, what would it be?
Okay, number one thing, do not settle. I think that you're worth more than settling. I think a lot of people tend to settle just because either they've waited a long time for a relationship or they figure someone is good enough or hits most of the qualities that they're looking for, but it's not worth it. Why would you want to settle when you can find someone that literally hits everything that you're looking for, you know?
That's so true.
And also, don't stay with someone that you know you're settling for. I think a lot of people confuse love for comfortability. Love and comfortability are not the same thing. It might be hard, but just get out of it because something else better is waiting for you.
Wow, that was really good.
That was good.
All right. Thanks, Molly, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. We're going to move on to our drink section, which Molly's still a part of. All right, so everyone get your drink.
What is it?
It is... Actually, let's drink it first, and then I'll tell you what it is because it's a lot of things. So what Andrew and Molly and I are seeing is like a brownish color, like slush. So let's cheers and see how we feel about it.
Also, she got this from Sonic. She didn't mention
True,
that.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
That was amazing.
I think it's good. What do you think, Andrew?
It's better than I thought it would be. There's like little white in it that they look like toenail, like my dog's toenails.
Okay, stop. Okay, so.
Like fossilized dog toenails.
This drink was made by our dear friend, Emily Root.
She works Shout out to Emily.
She works at the Sonic on Glenstone almost every night. So, go support her. So, I told her that I needed a drink for the podcast, and I said, we want to try something new. And she said, okay, I have the perfect drink. And then she went, and she made it. And this is what she did. She put blue Powerade, watermelon flavoring, a little bit of Sprite, a little bit of Sprite flavoring, some Nerds, the candy, not the people. and she said, do you want to know why I put all these flavors together? And I said, why, yes, I do. She said that she took the blue Powerade because it was like a soft flavor, and she mixed it with the watermelon because the watermelon is tangy, but it's also a soft flavor, so it would mix well with the Powerade. Then she put the Sprite flavoring in it to make it, to add to the Sprite that was also in it. So that the lime in the Sprite would work well with the Nerds.
She's like a Sonic barista.
She's a mixologist.
Yeah.
Man.
She's amazing. So yeah,
She choked.
Well, also she put Nerds in it because I said that I wanted something with candy. So she's really good.
She is
good. I am a big fan of this drink.
I agree.
And it was free. Yes. You might not get free drinks from her, but I do. So...
Nice. Well, does that bring us to our pop culture segment?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, so this week, Manuel and I switched it up, and we both recommended an episode of a TV show for the other one to watch. And we hadn't seen these episodes or these shows at all before. Mm-hmm. So I can start if that's fine.
Yeah, go for it.
So she recommended this show called Coach Snoop, which is on Netflix. It stars Snoop Dogg. I feel weird saying he stars in it if it's like a real life thing, because it's like a kind of a documentary to like a reality. It's a reality show.
Yeah.
But
starring Snoop Dogg.
Starring Snoop Dogg. And it's about a football league he has in Los Angeles for at-risk youth, just in neighborhoods where there's a high risk of youth joining gangs. And that's his way of keeping them doing something productive and just off the streets. And it was really cool to see. I didn't know that was something that he did.
Yeah.
And they like interview him and then his other coaches, who one of them was another rapper.
Yeah. Like former gang member. Like, yeah, no big deal.
And then I kind of missed that part. What was I going with that? Oh, yeah. Then they interviewed some of the parents that were involved with it and the kids. It was just cool to see the impact that they were making on those kids' lives. So, what do you want to add to that?
Yeah, kind of the same, not too much to add. His football league is SYFL, Snoop Youth Football League. I really love the show because I love when celebrities, like, recognize what matters. And as an after-school program worker, I understand then the need for after-school programs and what they can do to a child's life. I don't work with underprivileged kids, but I know they're out there, and I know that they benefit more than these children that I have, that I feel like I am benefiting, mm-hmm. regardless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suggested it because I love raising awareness, and I love that with rappers and gang members and stuff, there's always just, like, such negative stereotypes towards them.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see someone like Snoop Dogg, who has that name and the money and the credit, or not the credit, the, what's that word?
Notoriety?
Kind of, yeah. When they have that kind of,
Influence?
Yeah, influence. They can do whatever they want, and they choose to do this. I love that. I love that he recognizes that football as a sport is something that he can help build the children up in. Mm-hmm. It's all boys that go. And so I love when people encourage each other and build each other up. So I love seeing that. And also Snoop understands that the streets of LA are hard. They're like a hard place to live. And so he is protecting the children essentially from getting into that kind of life. The rest of the season, I've watched most of it, highlights other kids on the team. So it's kind of cool to get to know them more and see how Snoop has changed their life. There's a network of youth football leagues that kind of go around the country, and Snoop takes the kids to other places in the country.
I like that. That was
me
cool.
Me too.
Because he said something. It was to show them that there's more to life,
yeah.
than just the four blocks that they walk around,
yes.
all day or,
yeah,
every day.
Yeah, that is so important. And I love that he takes them because, yeah, they're experiencing what it's like to travel, mm-hmm. to be responsible for their stuff. They are playing teams that are way better than them, so they're learning how to lose, and they're, mm-hmm. also learning how to win. And even if they're losing, they're all winning together because they're a team. And then I also think it's cool that a lot of the kids that go through his program do end up going to college, and they end up playing college football.
Yeah, that was cool.
And he goes
too.
To visit them at their stadiums. And so I think that's awesome. I just really love the show, and I love that Snoop Dogg is actually doing something great. And also one of my favorite things about Snoop Dogg is, I think it's like the first episode or something, that he goes, Snoop Dogg, like, he loves the weed, he loves the alcohol, he loves the girls, but he's like, Coach Snoop loves the kids, and, like, Snoop Dogg is never around when Coach Snoop is around. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. I really love that he knows that he's an influence no matter what he's doing, but he knows, like, what not to be doing around the children,
hmm.
Which might not seem like that big of a, like, thing to praise, but I guess I really appreciate it because, uh-huh. he knows the dissonance that his life is.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Nice.
That's all I had to say.
Yeah, I recommend it.
Yeah, good. All right, so Andrew told me to watch this show called The Mary Tyler Moore Show. I had never heard of it before. I watched it on YouTube. He started me out in season 5, episode 7, with an episode called A New Sue Ann. And I guess it was kind of hard for me to connect because, like, I didn't know any of the characters and I didn't know anything about this show.
Uh-huh.
So basically, there's this girl named Mary Tyler Moore.
I want to start out by saying I picked out this episode. Well, because I feel like it showed the individual characters' personalities well.
Okay. And,
like, you could jump in. But sorry, go ahead.
Okay, interesting. All right.
You're like, not really.
I still didn't understand it, but it's okay. So there's this girl named Mary, and she meets this girl named Gloria, who wants to be an actress. And then this girl, Gloria, knows that Mary works in the TV at a TV station. So then she asks if Mary can help her, like, kind of get her foot in the door. And then Mary says, well, we don't have any openings, but I can give you a tour. So then Gloria is like all over her, like head over heels, like, ee, so excited. So then they go to the station and there's this girl named Sue Ann who does her own TV show. And apparently that's like Gloria's idol. And so then Sue Ann tells Gloria that she needs a new assistant. And then Gloria becomes her assistant on like whatever. So they're like, this is, like, the best day of Gloria's life, basically. So then Sue Ann's, like, doing her show, and then the station manager comes on and says that Sue Ann needs to make changes to the show because it's, like, outdated and stuff. And Sue Ann's like, no. But then Gloria was like, I have some suggestions, and basically woos the station manager. And then Sue Ann is like, she's going to get my spot because she's dating Ed. And someone was like, well, how do you know that? And she was, well, that's what I did to get on the show. And I was like, yikes. So, yeah, that was kind of the show. I feel like Andrew would think that this show was really funny because I didn't really think it was super funny.
All right. Is that the end of it?
Sure.
All right. So if I explain the episode, it would be a lot more exciting than that, but that's okay. I grew up watching this show with my family because we watch a lot of classic television shows. And I really like the show because the personalities are just so distinct. Mary Tyler Moore plays this character who's like very nice. Like she's like the girl next door. She never says no to anyone. She feels obligated to make everyone feel like they're the best, and just she never wants anyone to feel bad. And then there's Sue Ann Nivens, who's the happy homemaker on the show, and she's like on television, she has like this plastic smile and she says all these sweet things, but then when the camera shuts off, she's like cussing and like giving people crap. Also, she's played by Betty White, young Betty White.
Wait, are you talking about the episode that I watched?
Yeah.
I feel like we watched two completely different shows.
No, it is that show though. And then she has this, she works at a news station. And so there's a news anchor named Ted Baxter, who's like super dumb, like unbelievably dumb. And, he like does all these things all the time that are just like really annoying. He makes himself look stupid without realizing it. He dates this sweet lady named Georgette who Mary's friends with. And she's just like the definition of an airhead, but she's super sweet. So it's a really great show. It's groundbreaking because it was the first television show to depict a single woman in the workplace.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like her be like the star of the show, that character.
Cool.
So yeah, there's a lot of like episodes within the show that were groundbreaking as well. And I think on most lists, the series finale for the show like ranks number one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, really good show. Yeah. I recommend it. Manuela wouldn't.
Just another thing we don't have in common. Yeah. You know? All right. Let's move on to the quote jar.
All right. It's a Manuela quote.
Oh, yes. Let me read it.
Okay.
All right. This says, okay, quote, people say to me, quote, you look like little birds dress you, end quote. Ariel, 2018. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say who's
that.
Oh, no, real or fake?
It's real, and that's like an accurate representation of Ariel.
Yeah, that's my roommate, Ariel. She does look like little birds dress
her. She's like the human version of Snow White.
Yeah,
like exactly. The real-life version of Snow White.
So true. All right, I have one more announcement before we close the podcast. A couple podcasts ago, I talked about the movie The Riot and the Dance. And just so you all know, the movie was such a success that they are having a second showing in theaters near you April 19th, 7 o'clock. Tickets already on sale. Go get a ticket. Support this movie.
Nice.
That's all I have.
Two Friends with Nothing in Common is produced by Manuela Lenz and Andrew Minky. Special thanks to this week's guest, Molly Arnold. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is recorded in the Ozarks.